Okay, welcome back, everybody. We are about to start. First, two reminders. This is still the hashtag. If you want to write some tweets, we'll be happy. And then also in tomorrow or the day after tomorrow, all the presentations will be on the homepage of the expert group, which is SOE. I don't know. We'll put it up later on. It's quite long, actually. Now we will talk about how do you actually assess multilateral organizations? How do you check value for money? Is that possible? What are the challenges? And how have they done in, for example, the UK? About 2 years ago, the MAR, the Multilateral Aid Review, was commissioned in order to check those things. They were actually checking out 43 multilateral organizations that UK gives money to in order to see, for example, effectiveness and value for money. And what did they find out? Rachel Arundale, who is the head of policy for multilateral effectiveness at the UK Department for International Development in London, is here to tell us. Please welcome Rachel.
Well, thank you very much, Sharon, and thank you, Mats and colleagues, for inviting me here. It's been a fascinating morning for me so far. I've learned a lot. So what I'm going to talk about is exactly what Sharon said. It's what did one donor do when faced with the questions that our colleagues have put this morning. So in 2011, we did the Multilateral Aid Review, the MAR as it's known, and it was designed to answer the question, do we get value for money from our investment in multilaterals? A whole lot of questions underneath that is like, how do you design a process to know that? And that's what we'll talk about. And then just last week, we published the MAR update, an update of the Multilateral Aid Review, which was really designed to answer the question, a multilateral organization addressing the reform asks for the MAR. So following the MAR, we found challenges and weaknesses in some. We asked them to improve. Are they improving? And then I've just got a couple of slides at the end, which is our reflections on the process and what we've learned from it. And because we're talking about MOPAN afterwards, the comparison between MOPAN and the MAR, but I'll go through that quite quickly because you need to hear about MOPAN first to understand it. So, numbers. There's been a lot of discussion about numbers this morning, and I have to say my experience is exactly the same as Hans in that it's very difficult to get underneath that. So I'm going to say 37% of the UK official development assistance went to multilaterals as core funding. That doesn't include some of the organisations we call multilaterals, which are included in the MAR, but not the DAC list. So it's a slight undercount. It's probably around 40% of our core funding, I think. And as other slides have shown, the majority goes to the EC, the EC instruments in blue, and then there's another huge chunk for the World Bank and less for international financial institutions, the UN and others. So £3.7 billion, 30%, 7% of the core budget last year. That's the why, really, of why would you, any donor want to look at multilaterals in the way that we did. But the particular prompt for the piece of work was the fact that we had a new government in 2010, this new coalition government, new for the UK, and they, coming into government, established a look at value for money across the whole of DFID spend. It wasn't just a look at the multilateral aid budget. There was also a bilateral aid review, which has resulted in changes in our bilateral programs, as withdrawing from some countries like Cambodia and expanding our programs in others. Looking at the multilateral aid review, we did, as Sharon has said, we looked at 43 organisations and we looked at them all at the same time. and we used one assessment framework for all organisations. That's also caused some comments because obviously these organisations, as others have pointed out this morning, are all quite different in terms of their membership and what they do. So this was the framework. There are two broad areas to the framework. So it's the first answer to the question, how do we assess value for money for the UK taxpayer? It's very explicitly for the UK taxpayer, not a global indication of whether these organisations offer value for money. So the first element of it was, what do they contribute to the UK's development objectives? Is there alignment between what the UK wants for development and what the organisations are doing? And the second area, was organisational strengths. What's the organisation like? Does it perform well? Does it have strong financial management? Does it have strong awareness of its costs and awareness of value for money itself? Does it work well with others, partnership behaviour? So two areas. And we put those two areas together to form an overall assessment of value for money. And this was the result. Those of you that have been interested in the MAR will probably know this chart. It was probably the most publicised bit of the multilateral aid review. So on the vertical axis, it's got organisational strengths, and on the horizontal axis, it's contribution to development results. Those two areas combined to give an overall value for money rating or score for each organisation. The ones in the top right corner, they're very good value for money. There's 9 of them. They include organisations like Gavi, ECHO, IDA, so some big spend areas, some big spend institutions for us. Then in the bottom left corner, there's the ones, also 9 of them, that we classified as poor value for money. And they included organisations like UNESCO and UNIFEM, International Labour Organization, and others. And then there's in the middle, the bulk, the majority, 9 and 16 organisations which were classed as good or reasonable. So what happened? If a donor's doing this, it's not doing it as an academic exercise. It's doing it to determine what it does next with its money, with its activities, with multilateral organisations. And the main impact, the one that's been most talked about probably, is the fact that the UK stopped giving core funding to 4 organisations as a result, direct result of the MAR. And those organisations are listed there. Others had funding increased. Gavi was a notable gainer from that exercise, but not the only one. 4 organisations were placed in special measures. What does that mean? It just means that we asked for urgent improvements, or funding would be withdrawn. And the final thing that happened is reform priorities were set for all organisations, regardless of how they performed in the MAR. So even the very good organisations like Gavi had areas where they were relatively less good in terms of their overall strength and they were asked to improve. So it was about continuous improvement as well. It's probably just worth pausing to say there that the MAR and the MAR update are about core funding. They're about our core funding to multilaterals. It's not about the non-core funding or the multi-buy funding that others have talked about this morning, which is probably about another 20% of our budget. So, moving to the MAR update. As I said earlier, this is about addressing whether multilateral organisations are addressing reform asks from the MAR. I think it's important to say that the update wasn't a full new MAR. It only looked at the reform priorities, areas where we'd asked organisations to particularly improve. And those were quite different, actually. So that was the first challenge, in a way. The reform priorities were different depending on what sort of organisation it was, how it had performed in the first MAR. So on the area of cost and value consciousness, an organisation which had performed quite weakly in the original MAR was asked to improve its understanding of its own costs. Was it coding them properly? Did it understand them? Was it counting them in a way that would help it make management decisions? So quite a basic requirement in many ways. An organisation that was quite good in the first MAR was also set a reform priority. as part of cost and value consciousness, but it was asked to make better use of its market power in the purchase of commodities. So reform priorities, same component, very, very different tasks of the organisations, and it's worth bearing in mind when we start combining the results. It was an assessment of progress, so it wasn't an assessment of absolute level of performance in the way the MAR had been. It's just saying, how have you done since then? And how have you done not on all of your business and not on all of the weaknesses identified in the MAR, that just on the areas where we asked you to prioritise. So again, that was quite different because some organisations had quite a lot of weaknesses identified in the MAR. And we didn't ask them to improve on all of them because that probably wouldn't have been possible. So we identified some priority weaknesses, the ones that we thought would be most important for making a difference to the whole organisation. And then some organisations, which were pretty good in the original MAR, their weaknesses were better than many other organisations' strengths. So it's very mixed picture, and it was an assessment of progress. 37 organisations this time. Four organisations we'd stopped funding anyway as a result of the MAR. One, a funding window for the UN programme, I can't remember its exact name, finished, and I was just trying to remember what the other one was that's different, but I can't remember it at the moment. But 37 organisations were assessed. And this time we looked at them over 1 year in three tranches, but we have again used one framework, which was the MAR framework plus an assessment of progress, and produced one final report. So I was just talking a bit about the reform priorities and how they were set. I don't expect anybody to read this table in detail. What this shows is the organisations down the left-hand side and the areas we assess them against. So right at the very bottom, it's the World Health Organisation, and they were assessed against, reading sideways, contribution to results, strategic and performance management, financial resources management, and cost and value consciousness. So this shows you the picture of the MAR update, not a complete picture, not all organisations assessed against nine. Most multilaterals had 2 to 6 reform priorities. So on average, were assessed against four. And it's quite interesting to look at the components because they're... it shows which ones seem to be most important to DFID, and strategic and performance management was the area we most asked for improvement in. These are detailed descriptions of how we defined progress. The length and the detail of them probably shows that it's actually quite complicated to define that. But what we, given the difference in the reform priorities, but what we decided to do was say, did they meet our expectations in terms of what they should have achieved over these 2 years? And the difference, though each component, each area where we asked them to improve got a rating, and then that was added up to give an overall performance rating, progress rating. And these are the findings. This is a ranking. So to go to a question that Bureau might touch on, this is direct comparison of organisations in terms of the progress they've made. It's a ranking, it's an average of the progress. And at the left-hand side, which is the not-so-good side, that's the Caribbean Development Bank and ComSec. And at the right-hand side, we have UNAIDS and ICRC. The really important thing, though, about this graph, which I always forget to say because we're very interested in having lots of progress, the really important thing is that all organisations made some progress overall. So what we should be looking at, what that should be telling us, is that multilateral agencies are, for the UK, stronger than they were 2 years ago, better value for money. And this is another overview chart. It's another question we asked ourselves, which is, did the amount of progress that organisations make depend on where they were starting from? Like if they were a good organisation, did they make more progress? If they were weaker, did they make less? The picture is a slightly messy one, but we think there is a pattern that comes through that the very good organisations did generally well. So they're the light green organisations at the top right hand of the graph, and the very poor organisations did very well. And the ones in the middle, the picture's a bit more mixed. And we are speculating that the reason for that is that very good organisations have the capacity and motivation to change anyway. They're just good. They're very strong. And the weaker ones had quite a lot of motivation to improve because there was a serious threat of us withdrawing funding. As I say, it's speculative. This is almost my favourite bit of the analysis in the report, which is the change by thematic area. We also looked at each component area, so financial resources management, gender, and analysed the progress on that. The length of these bars just indicates how many organisations were assessed under each, so strategic and performance management's most, climate change is the least. So it shows you how interested DFID was in each area. And the ranking here is by most to least reform. And that, again, has just been kind of fascinating. Financial resources management, most reform, great. It's a really important area for all of us as donors. Cost and value consciousness, it's very weak, a much weaker picture of progress. Also incredibly important for an organisation like DFID, which has put so much store on value for money. Gender, women and girls is one of our Secretary of State's key priorities. Third weakest area of reform. This is not good news for us, but it's incredibly good news that we have this information because it's now going to determine some of our work going forwards about what understanding the reasons for this better and what we do about it next. So what does happen next? We're continuing to fund each multilateral. There's no funding stopping after the MAR update, and that makes sense if the main picture is that all organisations have improved to an extent, even if that improvement is a bit varied. We've set further reform priorities from what we've learned in the MAR, building on the information we've got about progress in the MAR update. So we're going to continue to persist. And we're going to take more action in areas like gender where there's been less progress. And the first thing is going to be understanding a bit about why. Why has there been less progress in gender first? And there will be a further full MAR in 2015. I've included a quote from Justine Greening, who's our Secretary of State, which I won't run through, but the final sentence shows the intent of the British government on this. If underperforming programmes agencies do not improve, we're prepared to take actions to end our funding. So it's a very definite political will behind this process, and I think that's important to recognise. So what are my reflections? Many, I would say. First is evidence. You can't make sound judgments if you don't have evidence. We're heavily reliant on the multilateral organisations to work with us in providing this, and they have done so, and it's really important. The area where we are weakest, which many commentators have pointed out and with which we completely agree, is getting evidence about what is actually happening in developing countries. How are these organisations performing in country? And it's something we're going to be working really hard on towards 2015, and with MOPAN. I've jumped a slide. I don't know how that happened. Sorry, so evidence. Second lesson, be clear. If you're thinking about setting up one of these programs, be clear about what's really important to you. Are all components equal? Question mark. I think we could probably have thought more about that, and I think I would advise anybody to. Heavy moderation processes during this. So we've got 43 organisations. We did a lot of moderation and peer review to try and ensure consistency. And we're happy that we did, but there was a moderation-heavy process. It was a lot of process behind it, but I think it was important. I think transparency and engagement is important. We have engaged more with multilaterals during the update process because of what they told us about the MAR, and they've appreciated that. We publish the responses of all multilaterals that want us to. On the website, we would publish their responses to the update. And as Sharon was saying, these are completely fascinating for me to read, so I'd advise anybody who's interested to have a read of them. And I think it keeps us on our toes because multilaterals have the chance to say, you've got this wrong, actually. You've missed this. You haven't understood that. And I think it's important that they have that opportunity. I think it's important that this isn't a one-off exercise. Multilateral change takes time. It takes a long time. Any organisational change does. So it's not a one-off exercise, and you need to be persistent and keep going, but you also need to be consistent. We can't continually change our priorities for organisations, say now we care about cost and value consciousness, now we only care about strategic and performance management, there has to be an element of consistency, else you'll never get change. And I'd also say my recent experience is that measuring progress is very worthwhile. I am completely fascinated by the results we're getting about the variation in progress. I really want to understand them more. I really want that to determine how we work with multilaterals going forward and how we make more change happen. But it is quite difficult to do, and I think we would have been better off if we'd thought about doing it from the start, which we didn't because the MAR was such a new exercise. I'm not going to run through this in any detail. Maybe it's one just to leave up there because it doesn't really make a whole lot of sense until Bjorn has spoken about what MOPAN is like, but it just runs through the differences between the MAR and MOPAN. So, for example, MOPAN assesses 4 in 6 organisations a year. We did 43 all at the same time. So some differences, but I won't run through them right now because Bjorn is yet to speak. Finally, our reports are available at this website. I know that's going to be put up for you and made available. I have pretty much the last remaining hard copy of the update report here. We didn't print very many, just the ones we needed for our parliament. But I would really, I would recommend having a look at those. The individual assessments of each agency are also available with their responses. And I'm always happy and willing to talk to people and to hear their views. So, well, that's just disappeared. Do get in touch if we don't manage to speak today. Thank you.
Thank you, Rachel.